Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox. In the Northwest London Christian Church, we're preaching through the book of Hebrews. And these podcasts are giving a bit more information than we can squeeze into the sermons and the lessons. Today we're up to Hebrews chapter 1 verse 5, and it says, "For to which of the angels did God ever say, 'You are my son, today I have become your father,' or again, 'I will be his father, and he will be my son'?" Wow. Angels, God, the Son, what's going on here? Well, in verses 1 to 4, the writer has been establishing Jesus' credentials, and now he's going on to make more specific comparisons, beginning in the rest of this chapter with angels. And we get over the next few verses, seven Old Testament quotations backing up the author's claims about Jesus. It's not so much that he interprets the passages particularly, but he seems to regard them as being self-evidently about Jesus. And we will look at those as we go along, but they are all in chapter 1 of Hebrews, and it's Psalms 2, 2 Samuel 7, Deuteronomy 32, Psalm 104, Psalm 45, Psalm 102, and Psalm 110. Very interesting that he uses so many Old Testament passages to give credibility to his claims about Jesus Christ being superior to angels. Angels must have been a specific and significant issue for the people he was writing to, or else he wouldn't have focused on it as an issue quite so much, I wouldn't think. And here in this verse, verse 5, we have a quote from Psalm chapter 2, verse 7. It's a royal psalm composed for a coronation. It deals with being anointed, which of course is a key concept for the Messiah. No angel could have been addressed as a son. The psalm probably refers to the king, does refer to the king being anointed, being given the nations of the earth, bringing judgment to the wicked and blessings to Israel, God's people. It's also a passage alluded to in Luke 1, Matthew 3, 2 Peter 1, Acts 4, and especially Acts 13, and combined with Isaiah 42, applied to Jesus at his baptism, Mark chapter 1, and the Transfiguration, Mark 9, and the parallels to that. There's a very significant passage that deals with this royalty idea. And of course, Jesus is now our king. He is king of the kingdom. And that is what he's applying to, I believe. The second passage quoted is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14, which shows that there is a different relationship between God as creator and his created angels. David, talked about, I think, here, had a special sonship with God, in a sense, which was also promised to his descendants, but that was imperfect because of sin. Jesus is, if you like, the real son, because he is qualified in ways far superior to David. Solomon did build the temple, but his righteousness, or lack of it, was short-lived, and the temple was temporary. So Solomon was never going to be the full fulfillment of the promise of 2 Samuel chapter 7. Jesus was the one to establish a kingdom that will have no end, as it talks about in 2 Samuel 7 verse 16. This passage, as well as Psalm 2, was seen as having deeper meaning and related to expectations of the Messiah before Jesus was actually around. And there's some of that in the Qumran literature. References to Jesus as son of David in the Gospel shows that this association was accepted by the early Christians. And so, two passages that show us a difference of relationship between Jesus and God, as opposed to the context in which those passages were originally written. Angels could never be called son, and the kingdom that was promised to a son kind of figure in David did not endure, and yet the kingdom of Jesus does endure, and is enduring, will endure, and is of a completely different character and nature. How amazing. Well, tomorrow we'll go on to verse 6. If you can, pop over to iTunes and give us a review. Until the next time, I hope you have a wonderful day, and God bless.